In this episode of Honesty Talk, we are speaking about a topic that is, in my opinion, in our opinion, necessary. And that is what an individual does when they have made a mistake, when they've committed a sin, whether that's privately, publicly, and how they bounce back from that, either in faith or in how they deal with the shame or the kind of public outcry, if it's known publicly. And I think this topic was born from several instances that we've seen online, and when people have like a carnival on social media, and that's the only word that I can use, when they just like, okay, you know, this is a soap opera, this is EastEnders, and I'm gonna, you know, add my two pennies worth. But what we don't speak about is how that impacts the individual that made a mistake or sinned. And that's something we're going to discuss. But also on a very kind of private individual level, how do you come back? How do you bounce back after you have done something that you know is wrong or sinful or something that Allah doesn't like? How do you bounce back from that? How do you continue? How do you keep moving forward? And I think this is really, really important, because at the end of the day, we are all sinners. We are all sinners. We are all flawed. We all make mistakes. It's just that sometimes those mistakes are made public and sometimes Allah will cover you. But essentially, how do we bounce back from making mistakes and sin? Sumaya.
We own the mistake. I think that, you know, in my view, the difference between a person who comes out and says, okay, I did make a mistake, this was a massive lapse of judgment, and someone who comes out swinging or defensive or tries to explain their way, I think the way you speak up afterwards, the way you choose to swing it, is gonna make a big difference in how it goes down. I can't honestly see someone own it and apologize and say, you know, I can admit that I made a huge mistake. I can't really knock them, because that we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. But when I see that someone is trying to wiggle their way out of it, or feels like they're above accountability, or that makes me more angry, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, burn him. Take him, yeah, drag him off the stage, yeah. Because I trust you as a person? Are you showing actual integrity? Are you still trying? Do you think that you're so popular that you can play it off, and you have enough people who put you on a pedestal that you can get away with murder? Like, how crazy are we talking? So when someone comes out and says, I own this, I made a mistake, we chalk it up to human fallibility, and people can, I think, come back from that. But when you're in a position, especially the higher you go, the more the following, the more idol status you have, then the question becomes, are you actually going to be willing to do that? Or do you think that it'll bring you down and make you look, you know, less than holy, or less than like role model status, if you make a mistake in a public way?
I mean, the fact of the matter is we all do make mistakes. And I think there can be an aftermath for those who make their mistakes, who have made a mistake publicly, that we never get to see, because everything else is behind the scenes. So the burn him on the stake or burn her on the stake, and how that actually does impact on someone's mental and emotional and spiritual well-being, it does. And I think what we fail to remember is that we are all human, and we all feel, we all have emotions.
Even if you're a sinner and you've made a mistake, you still will feel.
You still will feel, right? And it's not to excuse what you have done. Mm-hmm. It's not to condone what you have done. But and how we as the audience respond to it has an impact on that person. Now, people will say, but they deserved it, especially if the act has impinged on another person's rights.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're not, they don't deserve any sympathy because they have done X, Y, Z. At the core of it, if we were to strip it all back, yes, we talk about the sin, we can say what they've done, they are still a human being, right? For me, though, there are so many layers to this because even, like, I think of Hudud and how, you're a human being, you've done certain things, and there are sacred ways in how we deal with this based on the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But in even in that, the wisdom, the hikmah is really prevention. Like, so we don't do
it's
this,
a
guys.
Deterrent.
It's a deterrent. If the punishment is so bad, the people are going to think twice about doing the thing, mm-hmm. right? So it's not then that we have to now burn everyone on the stake because, you know, this is the way of Allah, like he get them kind of thing. That's not the way. I think I prefer, I'm a bit of a hippie, you see. So I prefer compassion. I prefer sitting down. I prefer curiosity and understanding. What led you to do that? Because there's a backstory. You didn't just do that thing. And if we were to look at if we were to sit down and look at the backstories of all of these public displays or public sins or public fallings, we would see that there is something deeper beneath them. You know? But we don't ever get to that level.
No.
So we have the, oh my God, did you see what she said? What happened? Oh, share the link.
And I think this and I think that and yeah.
Like I've recently seen someone say about a particular falling, public falling, they don't deserve forgiveness. Says who? Says who?
When Allah's mercy is very much available to them. And so who are you to say that they don't deserve forgiveness?
And how do you know that Allah hasn't already forgiven them?
Right.
How do you know what they have done on their prayer mat and how they have talked to Allah? How do you know that? And that really is none of your business. It's not your business. But somehow we make it our business.
We make the sins and mistakes of others our business. That is scary. That is scary.
As if we don't have our own.
As if we don't have our own. Because when a believer sins and makes a mistake, it's such a private matter, such a private affair between the believing soul and Allah. And like you said, that person may have already been forgiven by Allah and yet is being slated by the community. But what is it about the community that we jump at this, that we are sitting there with our popcorn and we're, you know, what is it?
I mean, sometimes I see where it's like scapegoating for the cause. Like I have an axe to grind with people who do 1, 2, 3, and here you come, a public example, and it's like, let's, you know, we're gonna use this person as an example, and we're gonna flog them for every wrongdoing under the banner of this cause. Like anytime women were mistreated, anytime, this is like, you know, we're gonna scapegoat this person for that. That, and I think that the issue becomes magnified out of proportion in relation to how big people have made the person. Like, I look up to you as a spiritual leader, and now you've done this, and now I'm questioning my own faith and spirituality. And so this whole, like, I have so much at stake with your choices and your actions. And that there's a distinction between an individual making a mistake, and then, like, you think, okay, that's a private matter that's addressed between them and God. But when they're in the public eye, whether they own it and acknowledge it or not, they're going to impact the people who look up to them. And what I was saying in the beginning about accountability and integrity, if you don't own your thing, in my point of view, if you don't own this and address it head on, I can't mess with you, because now your integrity is coming into question. Everything you're going to say to me, you're someone who can't speak up about your own issue. You can't own what you did. You want to fight people and have debates on whether you're wrong and they're right and drag this into another domain instead of addressing it head on and owning it.
But what about when it is addressed?
When it is addressed, then that's different.
But then there are still people who, the cancel culture. You can't listen to that. You can't talk to that. You can't read that because of that thing that that person did.
That's their choice.
Like, do you see what I mean?
Yeah, there are people who are like, I'm going to unfollow. I'm going to, you know, because you just ruined it for me. And okay, that's their choice. Like that's for them, that's the line. The fact that you made a mistake, even if you owned it, is not enough for me. And okay, lose some followers. Fine. Let people like that who are not willing to have a conversation.
But I'm talking about the people who have that thought that I need to cancel that person because they have done X, Y, Z. Despite the fact that they too are sinners, but Allah hasn't exposed their sins.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I get it. Especially people in certain positions, they have a responsibility, mm-hmm. right? And they have a following, mm-hmm. and they are people of influence. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are vulnerable in their thinking and feeling that anything you do and say can be detrimental to their faith. Mm-hmm. That's true. But we as the lay women and women and men really shouldn't be putting people on those pedestals in the first place. No. Making them infallible in our eyes in the first place, mm-hmm. because they are fallible. Mm-hmm. And they will make mistakes, they will fall, they will sin, just like we will. And there is, just because they know more, it doesn't make them any less susceptible to being human.
Mm-hmm. You know what this makes me think of? It makes me consider how Allah treats us. Okay, so at the moment of committing a sin or making a mistake, Allah hates the sin. Okay, it's the sin that Allah hates, but His mercy is available to the person that committed that sin. What we do as human beings is we're hating the sin and we're hating the person that committed the sin. We are completely tarnishing we're assassinating the character and the identity of the person. As a human being, we're doing that, but Allah doesn't do that.
You know, the verse in the Quran, it hits me every time I speak about it, where Allah talks about not despairing in His mercy mm-hmm. for those who have transgressed. Mm-hmm. Now, what I love about that particular verse is how Allah addresses us. He says, "Ya ibadi," and He's talking about us being sinners and transgressors against our own soul. And yet He still honors us with that label. He could have said, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu," "Ya ayyuhannas," but he says, "Ya ibadi." So I love that He still honors us with that connection. Like, you have done this.
But you are still my servant.
I've still got you.
There's still an opportunity to return, to come back.
I'm here. Mm. Just come back. I see your mess. Just come back to me. And I've got you. My mercy is vast. Mm. But when we see others do that, like make mistakes, we don't have that level of compassion.
Until you find yourself in that position.
But even
and then you find yourself in that position, and then you see, it takes a person to find themselves on the floor begging Allah for His mercy, or hoping that the people will forgive them and show compassion and be gentle, in order to not repeat that with another person. And often when we are the ones judging, when we are the ones assassinating, and we are in that cycle of doing that, it's just that that's like second nature for us, Allah will test us with something until we learn not to do that. Because you know what? If Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth, allows for us to bounce back, to come back, to return, to make tawbah, to rectify ourselves. And sometimes, subhanAllah, a sin can lead to the very making of a person because it produces humility within the depths of their heart, and they come back to their Lord as a completely different, sincere servant.
Sometimes, you know how we were saying, like, people, the cult idea that they idolize the person and see them as infallible, and sometimes people see themselves as infallible. Mm-hmm. Like, true. They actually think that they're above these base human desires and the, like, you know, they not, you know, when a'uzu billah min dhalik, like, you know, you're kind of like, oh, you know. But then when they go through it, they themselves know that, okay,
right,
these ahadith and ayat,
I'm a human,
are talking about people like me, you know, and it isn't us and them, and it isn't up here and down there. Mm. We're all in this together. And I do see what you're saying about being in that position, and it just making you just lay off the judgment.
So if Allah is able to, if Allah creates room, space, compassion, and gives us that mercy to bounce back, then we too should allow people to bounce back and to still come back into the fold of the community. Because some people shun, because why? Dissociation. No, I can't be rolling with that. I can't be seen as, you know, it might rub off or whatever it might be. And they don't want to be seen as being connected to whatever they did and whatever they said, etc. But and then that person is now ostracized. They're left to do whatever they, you know, to deal with the aftermath of that. And sometimes they leave the deen. Now, if we were to turn back to ourselves, would we take accountability for playing a role in that person leaving the deen? Because these are the same people that we would see leaving the deen, and we'll again talk about them.
Right.
But not see the connection between us and our, what do we do? Celebration of their downfall and what that has resulted in. And that's sad. And that's something we need to check ourselves, you know, check within ourselves, because may Allah protect us from being called to account for that, for any part in someone else leaving the deen.
I mean, and you know what you were saying about how people distance themselves so it doesn't rub off on them when everything goes down. You think about the fickle nature of popularity and being in the public eye, that, you know, you a person has a massive following, they become popular, people want to be around them to benefit from just the proximity to someone like that. People want selfies, people, so they're cashing in on that popularity in the positive sense. And then when it goes down, they get the brunt of it in the negative sense. It's very, it's got that duality, and it's very fickle. Like, the truth is that if something happened tomorrow and you went into that position where people now have something different to say about you, the same strength that you got in the positive sense, you'll get equally strong negative blowback. And so, yeah, we shouldn't put people on that pedestal.
What about on an individual level? Awesome. I'm thinking about those who Allah Azza wa Jal has, you know, he's covered their sins. The public are not aware, but they are living with the fact that they committed a major sin. They are living with the fact that they have disobeyed Allah. They are living with the fact that they haven't met their own expectations of faith and practice, and they've fallen. They've fallen in a way they never imagined they would fall in the sight of Allah. So no one knows, but they know, and they live with it, and they wake up with it, and they go to sleep with it, and they are drowning in guilt. I think it's really important for us to speak about this, because just the guilt can also lead a person privately to despair and isolate themselves from others, from worship, from continuing to worship, because they're too far gone. And I think it's important for us to talk about bouncing back as an individual having committed sin. Now we know that Allah's mercy outweighs his wrath. We know that, you know, Allah talks about bringing another people so that they would sin, just so that he can forgive them. We know that Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. But do we really understand that that there is always an opportunity to return? There's always an opportunity to return. There's always an opportunity to make tawbah. And perceiving it in that light, that actually this may be a means of Jannah for you, because it changes your heart. in how it is conversing with Allah?
I think one of the tricks when you're down and out, one of the tricks of shaitan is to tell you that you're finished. Yeah, like there's no point.
Yeah.
There's no point in even trying. What you've done, you really can't come back from. And people do get stuck there. And when I was hearing you talking, I was thinking of, number one, your company. Mm. You need compassionate, understanding people who don't give up on you.
Do you know what you just reminded me of? Barakallahu fik. A sister was in, I mean, she was at that point. She had committed a major sin and she couldn't get up. She couldn't get out of bed. She was just like, she hated herself. She said that she would go to the mirror. She would look at herself and she wanted to like take her nails and just rip her face. That's how disgusted she was with herself. Anyway, there was a gathering and a sister said to her, when I look at you and I look at how much you're drowning in despair, I feel for you. My heart goes out to you and I'm a limited human being. So if I feel that way, if my heart is inclined towards you, knowing what you've done, then subhanAllah, and I'm a human being, then what about Allah? What about Allah? And that it goes back, there's a difference between hating the sin and hating the person. Allah doesn't hate the person. Allah hates the sin. If we've made a mistake and we've sinned, yeah, we hate the sin, but there's always hope. And we have to, and I'm so glad you mentioned this, if we are witnessing someone in that state, we need to remind them of the hope. We need to remind them of the mercy. And if we are the ones that are drowning, then we also have to, you know, try to surround ourselves by those that will remind us of that. And that's it. Imagine another human being feels compassion, knowing that you did what you did. Then subhanAllah, imagine Allah Himself. And that gives us hope.
It does.
That gives us hope. There's always an opportunity to bounce back.
There is.
Always.
There is. And, you know, when I think about the women I talk to, who've gone through whatever experience they've gone through. Sometimes it's young ladies will tell you, you know, they were in a relationship, you know, in college or whatever. You know, they're recounting some historical situation and they're just living with the guilt. Does this mean I'm a bad person? What does this say about me? I feel like I'm a hypocrite. I feel like every time I try to do something good, I feel like it's tainted and it's not worthy, and living with this guilt. And I think that what you said about separating between the individual and the action, in judgment with others, but also with ourselves, like that this doesn't fundamentally change who you are as a person.
Right.
It's an action that you took. We're not talking, it doesn't touch the definition of what and who you are.
Your identity.
Yeah, yeah. Your identity is a separate matter and your actions are a separate matter. Having that compassion for yourself and then for others, because the sister who said that to her was in a particular place because she knew what she did and she was able to sidestep the judgment enough to even feel for her. Not everyone's there.
Yeah.
There are people who can't move past the disgust themselves.
Because they haven't been knocked yet.
Oh.
Majority of the time.
Those that are quick to pass judgment in that way and are not able to sidestep that is because they have not found themselves in that position.
I also feel like we don't have to find ourselves in positions to feel compassion.
We shouldn't
have to.
But some hearts are so hard that it takes a type of breaking to soften them.
Yeah,
that's the reality. Mm. You know, you know, some people get the lesson. Some people are just that's how they are by nature. But for some people that are so judgmental and so quick to point the finger, and I've seen it time and time again, you need to find your face on the floor
in order for you to know how it feels.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because you can understand non-judgment in an intellectual sense, but there's still a there are certain things I would never do. Like there's still a little bit, there's a little high horse action going on. So once, you know, I think that experiential knowledge makes it like in your bones. It's a different kind of understanding. Yeah.
So so thinking about the public realm and the private realm, what would you say to those who have sinned, made a mistake, either publicly or privately, in how they can bounce back? Like practical steps. I know you like that.
Practical. That's the key. Yeah. That's a practical. Hashtag. Practical. I think the time outlook, like you said in other episodes, our time here is so limited. You know, you have X amount of time, you're going to blow it in guilt and self-loathing, and you're here to collect points. You're here to make an impact. You're here to do the best you can. Yeah. You can't, if you want to throw in the towel on doing any good deeds, on giving da'wah, or on continuing your work because of this setback, you're just doing yourself a disservice. So the sooner you can rally that support and bounce back and work on building your positives, the better.
I think my advice is to remember that as long as you turn to Allah, you have all that you need. Because there'll be people who turn their back on you, but Allah, you come to Him, He won't turn your heels back on you. No matter how many people are lambasting you, no matter how many people are chatting your name, no matter what you have done, all Allah asks is that you recognize your sin, feel bad about it, mm-hmm. and turn to Him and commit to doing good. Mm. And that's it. And the formula is so simple. It's so simple. We are the ones who complicate it. We are the ones who set certain hoops that need to be jumped through. But with Allah, it's so easy. Mm. And to revert our hearts, our thoughts back to Him.
Mm. Just what you said about, fixing things with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it's between you and Allah, where there are people's rights.
I was just about
fixing that to address. Yes. Yeah, that has to be addressed.
Yeah. I was about to say the same thing, that when someone's rights has been taken away, address that with the person, and anyone else doesn't have a say in that. Yes. You know, so just zip it and be quiet and get on with your own business. No, really and truly, you have no say in it. If that person has wronged that person, that's between him, you know, whoever, between the two individuals. Mm-hmm. And then it's a dialogue between you and your Lord. Mm-hmm. No one else should even mention a word about it. Okay, so that's like publicly. Mm. Privately, like you said, I think practical steps is that you need to take yourself away from external judgment and also internal judgment, self-judgment, and just like surround yourself, and these are just practical ideas, surround yourself in nature, walk, surround yourself by Allah's creation. And the reason why I say that is because sin is a very human thing. It's a very human matter. You know, you've done something as a fallible human, but the bouncing back after sin is a spiritual matter between you and your Lord. And so you need to be reminded of the Creator, and then you will be reminded of His mercy, and you'll see that there's an opening. There's a door that can open for you, and this can become something else. So do everything you can to move away from the creation and move towards the Creator. So surrounding yourself by nature, reading Quran, more dhikr, gratitude, you know, really focus on your relationship with Allah, and that will remind you that what you did has ended. It is in the past, but your iman is continuing. Your relationship with Allah is still alive, you know, and that you still have life.
There's still time.
There's still time.
Got now, there's time.
There's time. There's time. There's time. You can still write your future. And how many great people came from a difficult situation? How many moments in history came as a result of something that was quite ugly? Yeah. But it's not what happened, it's what you did with it.
Mm. Mm.
And that's the key.
Not just the ingredients, how you cooked it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Wisdom.
Alhamdulillah, hashtag. Thank you for joining us in this episode. We welcome your thoughts and comments. And as always, we look forward to seeing you again at the next episode of Honesty Talk, inshallah.
Just thinking about the prospects of not, of getting into my seat and not having either one of you there, that like, it boggles my mind.
Season one was the starter, you know, no pretenses, just kind of being quite honest about the good and the bad.
Season two was the main course.
It kind of opened the door to us seeing each other in a different way.
Two beloved, not just co-hosts, but really, really special friends, mashallah. May Allah love you. I mean,
we don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. We don't even know what we're going to face when we turn off these cameras tonight, subhanAllah.
It's all happening as a result of our true selves.
I feel like they're giving me heart. They're being truly themselves, and maybe I can be that way too.
And season three is a dessert.